The day after Talia Gonzalez gave birth in a New York City hospital, she had a routine visit from a hospital social worker who asked her if this was her first baby. Gonzalez later learned that conversation triggered a series of events that led to her losing custody of her son. Gonzalez had left the baby's father after he was abusive. She had a restraining order against him and was living in a shelter for domestic violence survivors. Yet when her baby was born, hospital staff and city officials did not allow Gonzalez to take him home. In fact, hospital staff kept the baby in the hospital, discharged the mother, and did not allow her to come back to visit or breastfeed. He ended up in foster care. Jennifer Gerson reported Gonzalez's story for the independent news site The 19th. Jennifer, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So the headline of your story reads, "She says a hospital used her past against her and took her newborn." Can you tell us more about the circumstances in which Talia Gonzalez's newborn was taken from her and placed in foster care?
Sure. So what happened with Talia is that she, you know, had been in an abusive relationship and got out of it, had taken a lot of steps to get out of that relationship. Like you mentioned, had taken the effort to secure a place for herself and her son, her future son, at a domestic violence shelter, had gotten a restraining order, had changed cell phone providers even, gotten a new number, had really cut off contact with her child's father, and went to the hospital fully prepared to give birth and raise her son and start a life for the two of them together. But when she got to the hospital and met with the hospital social worker, the social worker asked, "Is this your first child?" And Gonzalez answered her honestly, which she had been advised by her older children who were in foster care. The foster care agency supervising those children had said, "If anyone asks you, be transparent, answer all the questions honestly." And she said, "This is actually my sixth child," and explained that her three oldest children were already in the foster care system and that the baby that she had just given birth to didn't have a father. And at that, she says, the social worker allegedly left her hospital room, made a face at her, and walked out the room, and then later came back and let her know that she had contacted ACS, which is New York City's child welfare agency, and to report that there was perhaps a neglect situation or a child welfare case at hand here, and that there would need to be an emergency review of her case.
It strikes me, Jennifer, that the mother was maybe also a victim of abuse, but without the father of the baby around, that she posed no threat to the child. What more did the system want her to do to protect the baby?
A lot of it had to do with this question about judgment. She was someone who had a history of being in abusive relationships. Her oldest children, like I mentioned, were in foster care. She had already fulfilled every single court order. She had taken parenting classes, anger management classes, had taken classes on domestic violence and how to protect herself from those kinds of relationships, you know, regularly visit with her children, was doing everything in her power. But she says it came up that there was this concern, and this is something I heard a lot from experts in reporting the story, that happens a lot to survivors in this situation, that there's this concern sometimes that if you have been in a domestic violence situation, that there might be, you know, a question of judgment. Are you capable of parenting if you are someone who finds yourself in these situations? There's this stigma sometimes placed against mothers that if you are someone who has allowed yourself to be abused, are you capable of parenting and protecting your own child?
But what doesn't make sense, and I have to say, I too have reported extensively on mothers who are victims of domestic violence and have their children removed, and that's exactly what I've heard over and over again. I'm wondering why, though, hospital workers were so opposed to Gonzalez, say, even holding and breastfeeding her baby in the privacy of her own room with the door closed.
I mean, that's a great question, and I think that's why Talia took this action to file suit against the hospital. She has the same questions about why was this an issue? What risk could there have been to a child while she was in the hospital in a public place? I mean, I think she was told to breastfeed before the baby was removed with the door open even. She is really unsure why there was this concern about her, really based initially just on the knowledge that she had children in foster care.
And I do want to come back to a lawsuit in a minute, but I want to ask you, race plays a big role here. You point out that Black and Latino children in New York City are way more likely to encounter the foster care system than white children, removed at much higher rates. Why are mothers of color seeing their children removed for domestic violence when we know this occurs in all communities?
I mean, again, a great question. I think this really speaks to some of these compounding systemic issues that mothers in these situations find themselves in. There's, I think, so much bias against people, women of color. There's so much bias against women who are survivors of domestic violence. And if you are both, these factors really get compounded. We know that in New York City, especially, it's close to half of children who are of Latinx or Black children in the city find themselves subject to a child welfare investigation by the time they turn 18. And we know that this is really common, too, for families where there have been reports or allegations of domestic violence. When you have both, you get stuck in this cycle very often of where there's a report, it triggers surveillance. And, you know, when you're surveilled, usually people find things, especially in New York City. This, you know, varies by state, but the definition of neglect, which is something that can be used to remove a child, is really loose. This could be something like abuse. This could be something as simple as the home seeming messy, or, you know, is there dirty laundry around? Is there not adequate food in the refrigerator? So, you know, instead of thinking, what does this person need in terms of resources to help support their family? Is there this question of, well, what don't they have right now? And I think we see this disproportionately in these populations because they're already being so intensely surveilled and then locked into these cycles of surveillance as a result of this.
Now, Talia Gonzalez, as you mentioned, is fighting her case. She's suing both local authorities and the hospital. What are her chances? Is the case underway?
So her lawsuit against the hospital is underway. You know, she's awaiting kind of further response from the hospital. I think it'll be really interesting to see how this does continue to develop and play out in court. And she's trying to get custody of her children back from, you know, New York City. And that is just a really long road. These cases take a lot of time. They play out very slowly in the court system. There's a huge amount of backlog. And you know, she's been working for years to regain custody of her older children and has now just started this process with her, you know, son who was born this summer. So she's got a long road ahead of her, but she's really committed to staying the course. I think especially with her lawsuit against the hospital, it's something that has felt, she told me, very empowering to her. It feels like one of the first times where she has felt granted a voice in all these things that have happened to her and able to say, what happened to me was wrong, and I'd like to be able to say that out loud to someone.
Jennifer Gerson is a reporter for the independent news site, The 19th. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.